everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go. As we continue our series called Ripple Effect. And Ripple Effect is all about the outsized impact that God wants us to have because we all want to make a difference in the world. And so you see the still water behind me. We played with that a little bit, but we're going to play a little bit more because I want us all to feel that ripple effect. So I want you to pick up an imaginary rock, not a real one if you have one, an imaginary rock. Put it in your hand right now because we're going to throw it at the center screen when I count to three and create a ripple. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Perfect. You want to do it again? One more time, okay? One, two, three. Awesome. I could do that all day, but I can't. We got this to do. But, you know, it's just a picture of the kind of impact that I believe God wants us to have. And today we're going to talk about an incredible opportunity that's also a little bit tricky and maybe a little bit intimidating about sharing our story, sharing with others how they can know God because of what Jesus did in a way that changes their life forever. And that's cool to think about, but it's also a little scary sometimes because what we're talking about, another way to say it, a churchy way to say it, is with this word, and that is evangelism. That's kind of a scary word, right? Like I did a little bit of research this week and to look at what are the most cringe-producing words in the English language that make you go, oh no, here they are. You want to hear them? Ooze, mucus, cyst, bulbous. Kind of see a theme here. Pus, moist, congeal, fester, smear, fungus, pulp. I'll add mayonnaise. Kind of the same thing. Right, all those words. But if people would really think about it, they might also put the word evangelism or evangelist there because it can bring up all kinds of drama and all kinds of like, oh no, not that. I mean, it's a beautiful thing as we're gonna see, but a lot of times people have not experienced it that way. My granddad, this was a positive example. My granddad was a Nazarene pastor, but before that he was an evangelist. That was his job title. In fact, this is from the 1930s. This is my granddad, a flyer. In the 1930s when he would go and do these tent meetings that they would set up in different places and he would preach. And I love that little phrase, one man evangelistic party. Like he'd do it all, right? He'd do the music and do the thing. But if you knew my granddad, I know you didn't, but one man evangelistic party was the perfect way to describe my granddad. For one, his personality, he was a party on the way to happen. He had a big personality, was funny, always had jokes, and was charming, and could get away with anything. And he also, I believe, was really gifted by God to share with other people how to come to know Jesus, what we call evangelism, so that he just had a natural way to turn a conversation, wherever he was, to Jesus in a way that people didn't mind, wanted to know more. If I did the same exact thing, people would get offended, but he had a way of just doing that in a way that was charming and endearing, and I wish I was more that way. But there's a lot of people in heaven because of my granddad, which is a cool thought. And yet his job title for a while was evangelist. Now think about this. Let's say you're on an airplane and you meet somebody for the first time next to you and you ask that person, hey, what do you do for a living? And if they said evangelist, I bet even if you've been a Christian a long time, you'd want to change seats, right? Because you're like, oh no. You know, because we think of some slicked back hair person that fleeces people out of their money and is manipulative, or maybe when you hear evangelism or evangelist as somebody who's pushy and, you know, just pushes through every verbal cue where people are saying, please stop, and they just keep going and all that. But I want us to rescue the concept. Because yeah, a lot of people have done that poorly, but evangelism as a concept is actually a beautiful thing and a powerful thing. And the word, it goes back to the Bible. It's a Greek word. The New Testament was written in Greek. It's one of those words that they didn't really translate. They just took it out of the Greek language. Here it is. It's evangelizo. And you can see it in the Greek letters and made up a new word, evangelism. But all it means is to share good news. It was a normal word in their culture to share good news. Like, we're going into the Christmas season now. And, you know, when the angels come and they say, I bring you good news of great joy to all people, that I bring you good news is a version of the word evangelizo. I evangelize you. I share good news with you. Now think about that. Sharing good news with people, well, that's a good thing. That's a kind thing, right? I mean, if you were in trouble and somebody knew about a solution, that'd be really good news that you'd want them to share, right? Or if you, let's say you had a financial problem, and you say, oh, that's not a problem because here, there's this over here. Or you have a physical problem and somebody says, oh, that's actually, there's a solution to that. Or somebody shares some opportunity with you that you would never know about and you think, man, that is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing it with me. And you and I, for those of us who know Jesus, I don't know, not everybody does yet, but for those of us who have a relationship with God, we have the most amazing news to share. I mean, think about it. You know, like, even if you're not a Christian, wouldn't you want this to be true? And for those of us who do believe, think about how amazing this thought is. The good news we have to share, what the Bible calls, or what we call gospel, is that God exists and is not aloof. He doesn't hate us. He loves us. So much so that he sent his son, Jesus, who is God himself, who came here, took on human flesh so that he could connect to us. He dies on the cross to pay the penalty for sin that all of us deserve. And he offers forgiveness freely, wants to be in our lives when we say yes to him, to grow us and change us and transform all that is broken and begin to reshape us and use us to be influential and bring hope and to this broken world and to bring change there. I mean, it's pretty amazing. The way that I summarize it often is do versus done. That Christianity is not like any other religion. It's not a religion, but it's not like any other religion in the world. Religion is about what we do to earn God's favor if a religion believes in a personal God, or what we do to gain some spiritual status or plane. But the Christianity is not that at all. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. It's about what God has already done for us, and he offers everything freely. We don't do anything except say thank you. And invite his presence into our life that begins to change us forever. And think about that. If that's, for those of you who are like, I don't know if that's true or not, that's pretty awesome if it would be. And for those of us who believe, there's not greater news than that. And why wouldn't we share that? Like, I mean, it'd be mean not to share that, right? And yet, I think most of us would be like, yeah, I would love to share that, but it's scary. Because how do I share it in a way, in a culture that's so sensitive? How do I share it in a way that doesn't push people away or get people mad or something like that? Like, how can I share it in a way that actually helps them and they can hear it and they can listen to it? And that's what we're gonna talk about, is how to share the good news. And we're gonna do it, it's such a cool passage, by listening to, in the Bible, to a guy named Peter, who is one of the 12 disciples, who after Jesus ascended to heaven was a key leader in the early church. And he was like a missionary. He was an apostle, they called it. And he writes two books in the New Testament, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And in 1 Peter, he spends a lot of time, a little bit in 2 Peter, talking to these Christians in the Roman Empire where Christianity was brand new. And there was a lot of slander about Christianity because the authorities were threatened by it. And there was a lot, it was very maligned, it was beginning to be persecuted, and so they had a lot working against them in that culture. So how could they talk about Christianity in a very sensitive culture and share the good news in that kind of environment? Well, you and I don't have quite that advanced of a problem environment, but certainly it's not so easy in our environment either to talk about this stuff. So I love that it's there in the Bible because we can learn from it and say, oh yeah, okay, we can do that. And I believe if we do what Peter's gonna say, we're just gonna look at one verse. He talks about different things in the book, but his main point is boiled down in one verse. And if we do this one thing, you will be a person with a huge ripple effect. I mean, I believe there'll be people who will, you'll be part of their journey coming to know Jesus that will change their life forever by doing this like one verse. And here it is. It's a very powerful concept. 1 Peter 3:15. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, because he's talking about living in a way in culture where people are like open to the gospel because of us. He says, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. So two big ideas here. One is to live in a way that creates pull, to live a compelling and connected life, to create pull. He says, live in such a way that people are open, maybe even enough, they actually ask the reason for the hope that you have. He's talking about non-believing people who are like, man, what's your deal? It's creating pull. Now, if you are around Chase Oaks very long, you will hear me talk about pull versus push and how the way the New Testament, the way Jesus did it, the way he impacted people is not by being pushy, not by being arrogant, not I'm right, you're wrong, I'm smart, you're stupid, listen to me, whether you want to or not. That's counterproductive. That's push. What he wants us to do, what Jesus modeled and what we're told to do is to influence by pull, meaning creating curiosity by the way we live as we relate and as we grow and as we love like Jesus loved and as we relate to people the way Jesus would relate to people in a culture like this. I promise you it will create openness and curiosity because it's different. As we grow in faith, hope, and love, as we grow in faith in a world where seems like there's not much to count on. As we grow in hope, and we're not like, you know, just weighed down with fear increasingly as we know God, but we have hope. And then love, like Jesus said, this is the way people know you're my followers, if you love the way I've loved you. And if you and I in a world like this love people with that kind, like Jesus kind of love, that kind of generosity, that kind of forgiveness, that kind of welcome, that kind of openness, I promise you, we'll be people of impact. Enough that people will actually be open, like, why are you the way you are? And whether they may even ask, but even if they don't ask, they'll at least be open to that conversation in a way that we can share what's going on in our life, but to create pull. Now, you can think about this way. My guess is, well, I'm sure for all of us, no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey right now, there's been somebody influential in your spiritual journey, which is why you're this far. And I want you to think about one of those people. I know you might be able to think about 10 people, but I want you to think about one person who lived in a certain way or related to you or loved you in ways that were like, wow, there's something different about that person. So that when they invited you or they shared their story with you or they talked about Jesus with you, there was something that made you go, oh no, please. There was something that was like, oh, please. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to think about that name because I do this from time to time. I want us on the count of three here in a minute. I want you to say the first name of that person out loud. All right, so you got your name? Somebody who's been influential in your life? Okay, here we go. One, two, three. It's cool, isn't it? And imagine if months down the road, years down the road, when I do this again, and I will, they say your name. And that's the kind of ripple effect God wants you to have. And he invites us to have. And it starts, the most important thing is to live a compelling and connected life. Because one of the reasons that person that you talked about impacted you is proximity. They were in your life. They were interested in you. They were a friend to you. They made time for you. Otherwise you wouldn't know them. They would never say your name you would never say their name. And that's one thing we always have to guard against because as Christians, it's so easy to get so busy with each other that we no longer make time for people who are outside the faith. We may have acquaintances at school, at work, and so on, in neighborhood and so on, but I'm talking about friends. And it's real priorities. I mean, it happened to me yesterday. There's always like 200 Christians I should spend time with at any given meal. or any given block of time that I'm not spending time with. And if I'm always thinking about that. But I have to make sure that, okay, that's great. They're going to be in heaven. They're going to be all right. But I've got to think about people who don't know Jesus yet. And so like just yesterday, I had to make that priority choice. I'm so glad I did. Because I caught a friend who doesn't know God, who at a time where he was very open to talking about things. You just never know. So the first thing is is to live a life that's compelling and that's connected. And that then when you do, be prepared to share your story in a helpful way. He says, be prepared to share the reason for the hope that you have. That at some point, we really do need to be prepared to share about God, about Jesus, how people can come to know him. Paul talks about that when he writes to the Romans, the Roman Christians, and he says, but how can they, those who don't know God, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? At some point, it's not just about being nice and being loving, that's true, but to be also ready to share and willing to share and able to share. And I want us to talk about that a little bit because I think we can sort of convince ourselves in culture right now, especially, that people don't want to hear it. And so you just can't say anything. Because nobody wants to hear about God or nobody wants to be invited to anything. It's like, and we can kind of freak ourselves out, I think, a little too much. I have a podcast that I do called Rebranding Christianity. And a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to interview co-author of a book called The Great Dechurching. This author was named Michael Graham. And it was a great conversation. I encourage you to listen to it. It's on all the whatever things you listen to podcasts on. And the conversation was around a book that he had written and a lot of research that was done on what is called the Great Dechurching, that over the last decades, 40 million Americans have walked away from Christianity. That's a lot, okay? There's 300 million Americans, or a little more than that, but let's say 300 million Americans, 40 million have walked away from Christianity over the last decade. So that's like, oh no, that's a big thing. But when they dug into the research okay, let's talk to these people and find out what's going on, it was actually more encouraging. So 10 of the 40 million, or maybe what you'd think, 10 of the 40 million are like, I'm out and don't talk to me about it because been there, done that. So they're done with Christianity. They've deconstructed their faith. God can still work. We should still be in their life. God can do whatever. But these are people who would say, don't talk to me, blah, 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 I'm done, right? And that's not all of them though. That's 10 million, but 30 million of the 40, most of them, 30 million, were actually pretty positive about Christianity still. They were like, hey, I just kind of drifted out. But when they were asked the question, if someone that you respect invited you or engaged you in conversation or invited you to a church thing or invited you, would you be open? They're like, yeah, absolutely. With someone they respect, they're open. That's 30 million people right now, 30 million people who've drifted away from Christianity who are actually waiting for somebody to talk to them about it, waiting for somebody to invite them. I mean, that's close to 10% of our population. Another study that came out was of younger Gen Z. We talk about younger generations and all that and how a lot of young millennials and older Gen Z are kind of out on Christianity a lot or have very dim view of Christianity and what we need to do and all that, and that's true. But it was super encouraging. Study came out that, because it was a massive study by the Barna Group, and they found that for the younger Gen Z, which are teenagers into college right now, they're actually way more open than those other groups. In fact, 50% of people in that age group who say, yeah, I'm not a Christian, 50% said, I'm not a Christian, but I would love to know more about Jesus. Highly curious is what they said, highly curious about Jesus and open to talking to Christians about it because they assume, well, Christians know about Jesus. So yeah, they're open to hearing from Christians about Jesus. They're not jaded the same way some other groups are. So there's another group kind of waiting. Yeah, I'd love to know about Jesus. I don't know how, but I'd love to know. And the reason I'm saying that is I don't think we have to be overly psych ourselves out. Okay, you can't do any of this. I mean, be sensitive to where people are, and if you sense of, ooh, a little, okay, just back off. But let's not just assume that nobody wants to hear about God or be invited or whatever before we even ask. But we need to be, but how do we do it when we do so we don't flub it? We don't whiff. And I think the best way to do that and be prepared, because I want every Chase Oaker to be prepared. It's one of my goals for this year, is to say I want every Chase Oaker to be prepared to share about Jesus in a way that could be helpful in the spiritual lives of other people, no matter where we're at in our journey. And there's different ways to do that. I mean, people have like presentations you can memorize and all that, and that's fine. But I think far better is what I'm gonna encourage us to do, and there's an opportunity to go deeper in this outside this service, and that is to learn how to share our story in a way that can be helpful in the spiritual life of other people, even as we're curious about their story as well. How do we share our story? Because in a culture like this, that's the least threatening way to share about God is our story, because it's our story. It's not like this thing of saying, hey, I'm right, you're wrong. It's just my story. This is what God's done, this is what God's doing in my life. I have a relationship with God, and this is what it was like before, here's what God's doing now, and it's our story. And you see that, and that's not a new concept. You see that all over the New Testament as people just share their story in a way that causes other people to turn toward God or be more open to that. Like one of those, one of my favorite one of those in the Bible is in John chapter 4. It's the woman at the well. If you've heard that story, where this woman talks with Jesus, and then she becomes the first great evangelist, that scary word, in the Bible. She goes to this village and shares with the village people, and you know the village people, right? Here they are. Go ahead and show them. Yeah, it's awesome. Like they were, you know, they were in the village in YMCA, and she comes and shares. They become a Christian, and I don't think that's actually what happened. But what did happen? I mean, that would be fun if the Bible if they included that story. But the story that's here is pretty great, and I'm going to read what happens after this conversation. So. You have, go ahead and put the background up. You have Jesus talking with a woman at the well, and they have this incredible conversation in John chapter 4 in the New Testament. Read it this week. It's so cool, the way Jesus interacts and relates. We can learn so much from it. And she becomes a believer. She realizes, like, this is the Messiah. This is the promised one. This is, like, I think this is God. I mean, she believes. But she doesn't stop there. She then goes back to her village, and here's what happens. Then leaving her water jar behind, because she was so excited, she went to the well to get water. She's like, I don't care about water. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah, the Savior of the world? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. They have this interaction. And many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, her story. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Most of a village comes to know Jesus because of the story of one woman that causes them to be open and search for God, and they find him on their own, and it's this whole thing. She's the first great evangelist in the Bible. And all she did was share a story. And so what would it look like for you and me to be able to share our story in a way that really could be helpful in the lives of other people? Which includes being curious about their story too, because they have a story too. And I want us to be ready for that. So we have some ways to do that. And I'm gonna invite somebody, a Chase Oaker, that when I thought, who in our church could help us do this? Knowing just, you know, there's a lot of people at Chase Oaks, but who could really help us be prepared to share our story and equipped to do that? And I thought about Ray. And I'm gonna invite Ray to the stage. Let's welcome Ray.
They don't even know me, and they're already clapping.
That's, I know.
I mean, that's so nice.
Yeah.
You're so nice.
That's Chase Oakers.
Yeah.
So, very good. Ray, thanks so much for being here and for helping us. So you'll hear about it. He's developed some things that are going to be helpful to us that on demand we can go through to learn how to share a story. But But you didn't start out as a person who would share your story about Jesus because you didn't know him. So tell us your story a little bit.
All right, so I did not become a Christ follower till I was close to 30 years old. And so I didn't really grow up in church. I wasn't a church person. So, I mean, it was so beyond me. And from a very young age till my mid-20s, I was the party guy. All right. And so long story short, in my last few years of the party lifestyle, I just became emptier and emptier. I was kind of like that person you talked about last week, far from God. That's who I was. And so it gets emptier and emptier. I show up to a church. I wasn't a church person. It was kind of like, this is my last, I mean, I have nowhere to go. So I went there and I once was blind, but now I see. I become a Christ follower. And so as a new believer, like it was all new to me. I didn't know of the stuff serving and giving, like I didn't know about any of that. And when I heard that sharing your story was a thing, have you lost your mind? Because I, for all the reasons that we could list, it was terrifying, just the idea of it.
Well, somehow you got over that and it got to a place where you were more confident. So what happened there?
Right. So, you know, it's funny. The Lord, one of the things that he's called is the God of all comfort. And being the, and it's true, still he can make you feel pretty uncomfortable sometimes, right? When you're not following him. And so that was me. And so the idea of sharing faith, that was not going to be a thing I wanted to do. And so, but then as I grew in my faith and in my understanding, it just became increasingly clear. Scripturally, it's easy to find that that's to be a part of our life, is share our story. But even just logically, I started to think how it just made sense that this should be part of my life. Like my favorite burger, have you ever had a Jake's burger?
No.
You've never, it's a mighty tasty burger. If you've never had, it's my favorite burger in the whole wide world. I've told so many people about it. And so I've never been in a situation where I'm like, I really want to tell people about my favorite burger, but I just don't, what if they have a different favorite burger? Or what if they don't like my burger?
Right.
So for me, the point is we share what we care about, whether it's our favorite movie or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the Lord works so powerfully in my life. Like it was shocking. Nobody saw it coming, least of all me. He works so much in my life that I wanted to see that happen in the lives of others. And so I started to become increasingly uncomfortable with not sharing my faith.
That's a good way to say it. So I think a lot of us are still pretty uncomfortable. So help us, you know, help us get, you know, how can we get to a place, or what would you say, get to a place where we could share our faith, we could share our story in a way that we can kind of push through that and be impactful.
Right. Well, and you get better with practice. So that's one thing I'll say. But so in a second, not yet, but in a second, I'm going to share about a tool that we developed that I think is really helpful. Before that, just a couple quick points. I think one of the most practical things that we can do is to put it on paper. It sounds simple, but just to kind of wrestle with it, like the main parts of it would be what my life was like before I became a Christ follower, how I became a Christ follower, and then what happened since that time. Because once we have it down and we've wrestled with our story to figure it out, well, when we have it, we have it. And so if we need to share it in a moment's notice, we're ready. Or if we're gonna share it as we build a relationship, let our story leak out a little bit at a time, then we can do it that way as well. And so writing it down is a big part of another part. You talk about the relational aspect, and that's critical. For me, I think about it, it's more like sharing our faith is more like art than math. In that, like math, it's like you do this thing and you do this thing and you get this result. But it's a whole lot more nuanced. It's more like art because it involves emotions and it involves relationships. It involves people's backstory. It involves the circumstances and all that. But when we have our story, we can share it a little bit at a time. And what we do is we cater it to the individual we're talking to. Because the more that we know them, the more we know their story, because I'm going to share some stuff with you that I may not share with somebody else. So we cater it to the individual, and I think that's critical. And the next thing, I mentioned a tool. So the heart behind this, when I became a Christ follower, I didn't have really anybody around me to help. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of alone, so I'm really thankful for God's grace during that time. And so I had to figure it out on my own, and we don't want anybody to have to try to figure it out on their own. And so we developed this tool. The idea is that, and I'm convinced that if you're a Christ follower, I'm a Christ follower, then we are meant to live a great story. And so we developed this tool to help be able to capture, to live it, capture it, and be able to share it. And so there's going to be a QR code that they'll put up, and you can scan it there. But this is designed to be able to do it both individually, if you'd like, or also in a small group. In a small group, and it's whether or not you're doing sermon-based studies, the idea is this week you just kind of take a few minutes, like 5 minutes. What you have is some storytelling, some short videos, and then a way to walk through on how to put your story on paper. And so it's not a long process, but I believe the impact could be long-lasting. So in a small group, you just watch the video, takes 5 minutes, and the next week you come back and everybody takes their turn in sharing the story. And I believe that if you walk through this, then you're going to be a whole lot more confident, feel a whole lot more equipped in sharing your story.
So I'm going to encourage all of us to do that. I'm going to do it, and just to sharpen our story and to be prepared. And it's a super helpful tool to be able to be much more confident. It says be ready, be prepared. And so that way we can, when God opens up a opportunity and there's openness. And anything else that you can share with us?
Just a couple things. I think that if I could go back, because I don't know where you are, and if I could go back to myself when I became a Christ follower, still feeling the effects from the night before as the party guy, I think I would tell myself, the Lord, like what happened in your life, the Lord wants to do in other people's lives, and you're gonna have to share your story, and you're not gonna wanna do it at first, and you're gonna have to fumble through it, you're gonna have to figure it out, but once you do, it's gonna lead to some of the most impactful stories that you will ever experience. Now, for us, I would say, you can probably relate to me when I feel and I think that I've missed all sorts of opportunities in my life. And I don't want to miss any more. Life is too short to miss it while we live it. And a great way to invest our life is to trust and follow Jesus into the story that he has for us, and be willing to share that story. I know for me, I went from someone who did not want to share my faith to someone who is now part of a church serving. And this is a church where this is a high priority for us.
And by the way, Ray's, you are faithfully serving. You also are one of our pastors. So he's our pastor at our Woodbridge campus. He's the campus pastor there. I bet your friends years ago when you were 19 years old would never have guessed that. 20 years old, 25 years old.
Especially the party ones, a lot of whom ended up becoming Christ followers.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, cool stuff.
Cool. Well, let's thank Ray for doing that and building the tool. And as we share our story, you know, Peter adds, hey, and when you do this with gentleness and respect. Now, respect, I think we can get. Gentleness is a word that's translated from the original Greek, like everything in the New Testament. And it's a big word, and it's hard to translate. Gentleness isn't bad, but it's only used 4 times in the New Testament. It's a rare word, and it's used twice to describe how Jesus related to people. And then Peter uses it twice in 1 Peter to say this is how we should relate to people outside the faith. And the word, when you look at it all, gentle's a fine way to say it, but it's just so much bigger than that. It's the opposite of pushy. The opposite of arrogant, the opposite of being demanding, of being condescending. It's being humble and interested and open and respecting people enough that this isn't a monologue. It's not just be quiet, let me share my story, but it's also in relationship, drawing them out. Well, what is God doing in your life? Or where are you at in when you think about God or spiritual journey? So that it's a conversation of respect and humility and openness as we share our story. And you can imagine, right, if we do what Peter's saying, if we live lives with people around just normal people who don't know God yet, and we prioritize relationships, and we just live authentic lives, not perfect lives, and be honest when we're blow it, and we live authentic lives where we're growing in faith and hope and love, and we're loving the way Jesus loved, it will create pull. And then be ready to have spiritual conversations. Be ready to share our story. Be ready to invite. Be ready to do that. And this will help us get ready. I just always want us to be ready because, think about how cool it would be to be able to look back, ripple effect thinking, to be able to think, wow, you know, there's There's a bunch of people that know Jesus now, in part because I got to be part of that. And I think of my granddad, you know, who's up there, you know, in heaven now, and thinking just all these people. They're like, dude, thank you. Thank you for being willing to share, because I'm here and this is what God did in my life. And I'm so thankful in my, you know, it's not just about going to heaven. It's about what God wants to do in our life now too. And here's a cool thing. So in Acts 17, and then we're gonna pray. One of my favorite phrases is when Paul is talking to these, to people in Athens, philosophers on Mars Hill. They've never heard about Jesus ever. And he's talking to him and he says this, that God did this, something he's talking about, so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. I love that phrase. He is not far from any one of us. Now, these people had never heard about God. They'd never heard about Jesus. And he said, God is so close. You just don't realize it. He's just right there. In the most powerful way, I think in the way God chooses to be close to people is, you know how? You, if you know him, because he's present in your life and you know about him. And people around you at school, work, wherever you, you know, live, work, play, have no idea how much God loves them. How, what could happen if they open their life to him? And he cares enough about all those people that he put you there. He's just that close. If we're willing to be the kind of people that draw people toward God and be prepared to share our story, pretty cool to think about what could happen. So we're gonna pray with that in mind. Next week, April Farmer's gonna be here. And if you don't know who that, what that is, she's awesome. April, she's gonna be talking about another way to impact that every 100% of us can do. It's actually way easier than the one we're talking about and crazy impactful. Not to diminish what we're talking about. Let's learn how to share a story, but make sure you prioritize next week too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how you want to use us in the lives of other people in the same way you've used other people in our lives. And God, would you help us do exactly what Peter told those 2,000 years ago Christians in the Roman Empire to do? To live lives in such a way that create thirst, that create curiosity, that create openness, that generate respect, so that they're actually open and curious. And then help us be ready to share about your love for this world, your love for people, your love for them, as we even share our own story and what God's doing. Just help us do that well. Because I know you're the one ultimately that's drawing people to yourself. And it's cool that you want to use us in that process. In Jesus' name, amen.